and it's Wednesday, the 27th of August, 2008. Welcome to the Mobile News Podcast, sponsored by Brightstar Europe. My name is Ian Graham. I'm your host for the next 20, 25 minutes. And with me is Mark Bridge, an independent technology writer. And also joining us is James Rosewell, the owner of a mobile technology business. In this week's programme, we'll be bringing you our usual mix of news and views from the mobile phone industry, an update of headlines and rumours from the past week, and in our feature, we'll be talking about the evolution of mobile voice over IP, and a phone review, and we'll look at the LG KC550. So let's get on with the news and rumours. Bear in mind some of these rumours we started. James, I think you're first up with this, and you've got a big figure about mobile broadband users.
Well, it all depends on your definition of big. Well, it's 50 million mobile broadband users worldwide. This is from the GSM Association. They're expecting the number of users to be growing at more than 4 million a month by the end of the year. So that's 50 million worldwide today, 4 million a month by the end of the year. This compares with just 11 million users last year. And their figures are based on the number of high-speed packet access users who are connecting via 191 compatible mobile networks around the world. Now, incidentally, current UK sales of USB mobile broadband dongles are said to be over 100,000 a month.
So you're saying your sort of scepticism at the beginning there, or my scepticism, was that that sounds quite a big figure to me, James. It's suddenly come on, hasn't it?
It certainly has come on, but it's got a lot further to go. So when we sit this time next year, they're saying 4 million a month, I think we're going to be looking at a figure nearer 200 or 300 million. We're going to be seeing a lot bigger numbers than this in a year's time, and 50 million is not going to seem like a big number.
No, I guess it's not. No, it's all relative, isn't it? I suppose it is, yes. And that's good for the business. Must be good for the business.
It's good for anyone involved in mobile telecoms, yes.
On a more sort of down-to-earth subject, Mark, what's Asda doing?
Well, I've got a different kind of figures. These are shrinking because Asda's cutting its prepay costs. This is the supermarket chain, and they've introduced a set of call charges for its prepay mobile phone service that they say makes it Britain's lowest cost pay-as-you-go operator. Call charges are dropping to 8p a minute and texts to just 4p each. This contrasts, or perhaps compares, with IKEA, who launched their mobile network last week. At the time theirs were the lowest costs, they had calls at 9p and texts at 6p.
So this is a supermarket price war in the mobile phone prepaid business. Where's it going to end?
I don't know. How low can calls be dropped to be profitable on a virtual network? That's the question.
I think they're cutting this right back to almost the wholesale values here. On these figures.
That's just what occurred to me, that they can't go below the wholesale figure, can they? Because that would be stupid.
And it's also be interesting to look at what the small print says around the 8p and the 9p for the voice calls. I suspect that's not going to include mobile numbers, and it certainly doesn't include all the 08 numbers as well. So they may end up making more margin on those calls that are excluded in order to cover a loss or break even on some of these other numbers.
Yeah. There's always a small print to consider in these things, isn't there? Always look at the small print. Alcatel sales are up by 60%. Mobile phone manufacturer Alcatel shipped 6.7 million units in the first half of this year, up 60% on the same period in 2007. The company, which is controlled by Chinese firm TCL Communication, also saw its revenue increase by 13% and net profit go up from Hong Kong dollars 2 million to Hong Kong dollars 112 million. That's about 7.5 million quid. Alcatel have never been a big company over here, have they?
Well, that's right. I think we're looking at global sales here. But there has to be someone to feed the handsets that Asda and IKEA are selling at very low prices. And Alcatel, Sagem, etc. fill that end of the market, don't they?
Oh, they do.
Yes. Yes, and I suppose someone has to, doesn't they? Because someone has got to provide those handsets.
That's right. You can't have Nokia and Sony, etc., providing handsets that are too cheap and cheerful because it devalues their brand. So that's where the gap in the market is. Good for Alcatel.
Yes. Yeah, good for Alcatel, absolutely, yes. Yeah. So, James, the UK's mobile web use, what's happening there?
Well, we're being overtaken by the USA.
Oh, dear.
Indeed. I think the USA's finally got its act together when it comes to delivering these sort of mobile services. This is from internet company Bango, which is saying that the mobile internet use in the USA is increasing and will soon overtake the UK. Now, the UK currently accounts for 19.35%, so that's nearly 20% of worldwide mobile browsing. So that's a big figure for a small country, especially when you look at our earlier story and we're selling 100,000 mobile broadband connections a month. I know it's slightly different. We're talking about mobile browsing. But, you know, that's a relatively small figure globally. And then we're followed by the US at 18.88%, so pretty much level pegging there. And then we've got India at just under 11%, South Africa at 9%, and Indonesia at just over 4%. So the US is pretty much on a par with us catching up. And if things keep going as they are, then the US will be one of the most active countries in the world.
But per capita, of course, then we're well ahead of the game, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely, if you measure it in those terms.
A bit like the Olympic medals table, James.
Go Team GB.
And at last, it's taken this long to get an iPhone story. Come on, Mark, give us an iPhone story.
Well, kicking off with the first iPhone story of the week, and Apple is facing legal action about the 3G iPhone. It's been launched by a lady by the name of Jessica Elena Smith. She's from Alabama, and she's taking legal action against Apple because she claims the 3G iPhone doesn't offer the twice-as-fast network connection it advertised. She says the phone only uses 3G about 25% of the time, and she's also experienced an, and I quote, inordinate amount of dropped calls. Ms. Smith is hoping her complaint will become a class action, which lets others join in the legal action and add weight to it. Apple incidentally issued a software update last week to improve the iPhone's 3G service.
Be interesting to know how much of this actually comes down to AT&T, who are the network provider in this instance. Because clearly they're going to have to be part of this if it's going to stand up.
I can't see how this can be Apple's, laid at Apple's door, shall we say.
Well, it can be, because their phone may be buggy and doesn't actually do what it should do. And clearly Apple's patch to the iPhone's 3G service suggests that there is at least something that needed changing.
Yeah, the suggestions I've seen have certainly said there doesn't seem to be a fault mechanically, as it were. There's no electronic problem with the 3G iPhone. People have actually tested it to see how the antenna works. But as you say, a software problem or a network problem isn't out the question at all.
Okay, well, moving on from that one, a bit like London buses, not an iPhone story for at least 10 minutes and then two come along at once. And there's another one here. It's been reported that Poland's telecoms company TP paid actors to queue outside its shops in Poland to increase the interest in a 3G iPhone, which launched there last week. The company, which operates the Orange network in Poland, is quoted as saying it paid actors to wait outside 20 stores. Apparently there were no queues outside the T-Mobile stores. They were also selling the iPhone.
What does surprise me here is that the telecom network owned up to it so quickly.
But why did they own up to it? Well, it's almost like they've taken a pleasure in owning up to it, like they're proud of it.
Well, maybe they got so little publicity from actually having the queue of actors outside the door, they just thought, oh, well, we'll tell everyone about the actors and we'll get more publicity that way. We're talking about it, so there you go. Some success.
Based on the fact that there's no such thing as bad publicity, I guess.
Well, exactly, unless you're Gary Glitter, but that's another story.
Oh, let's not go down that road. Let's talk about Ericsson now. Come on, James, what's happening there?
Well, ST Microelectronics and Ericsson are going to merge Ericsson Mobile Platforms and ST NXP Wireless into a 50-50 joint venture, producing chips and other mobile components for a number of mobile manufacturers that include Nokia, Samsung, Sony Ericsson, LG, and Sharp. Analysts have said it could be more bad news for Texas Instruments, which has recently lost some market share to Qualcomm. So these are the companies that produce all the little chips and have all the underlying intellectual property rights for the different bits and pieces that make up the mobile phones that we know from Samsung, Nokia, Sony, LG and Sharp.
Pretty much most of the market.
That's right, and there's consolidation in that part of the market as well, just like there's consolidation in distribution, in mobile networks, etc., etc. So not really a surprise.
No, it's just an evolution, isn't it? It's a natural evolution of the thing, really. Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be three or four major companies, hopefully, in each of those areas, and that's when it's reached maturity and equilibrium.
Okay. Ringback, Mark. We talk about ringback quite a lot on here. What's happening to ringbacks?
They're saying now that ringback tones are likely to lead growth in the mobile content market. Ringback tones are the music you hear when you're waiting for someone to answer their mobile phone. Not particularly big in the UK, but quite big in other parts of the world. This is likely to become the most attractive mobile content category within the next 4 years, according to research from Multimedia Intelligence. They say worldwide revenue for ringback tones will nearly triple to $4.7 billion, £2.5 billion, by 2012, with ringback tone revenue coming a very close second to mobile gaming revenue. Incidentally, these figures they're talking about don't include video or TV. Total revenue from mobile content market is expected to reach $29 billion by 2012. The company says ringback tones are largely unaffected by digital rights management or by piracy, unlike conventional ringtones, which is going to help them grow.
I think this is where the music industry needs to look. When they keep whinging about copying and BitTorrent and all that kind of stuff, they need to look to this area for their growth and innovate in this particular area. And the reason digital rights management and things like that are not an issue is because this is actually run and operated by the mobile networks. So there's nothing that you can kind of take and download to your computer or do in your own home. It actually has to be run and operated by the mobile network. So it makes a huge amount of sense. And people love to personalize their mobile phone. And what a great way of doing it. Very innovative.
I don't think I've ever come across a ringback tone, have I?
They're around, there's just not been that much adoption, really.
So the networks will deploy the technology, and anyone out there who sells mobile phones or has any relationship with the end user will be talking about ringbacks in 2010.
Wow. So it gives, there's always something else coming along, isn't there? That sounds like a pretty big market to me.
That's right. So rather than your phone ringing, it will play the latest Eminem hit. Or whatever you want it to play.
Jolly good. I'm glad about that. And finally, the 9th International Mobile Phone Throwing World Championships took place at Estonia last week, with perhaps unsurprisingly Estonians winning the men's and women's categories. The men's champion was Timo Lilium, who threw a phone for 85 metres. That's a hell of a way. While Valeria Kadorova won the women's championship with a throw of 36 metres. 12-year-old Finn Riku Kankuen threw 55 metres in the junior category, while Cara the Dog won the freestyle category with a maximum 6 points. There is no record of the length of the throw, I suppose.
There is, actually, Ian. The length of the dog's throw was 30 centimetres, but distance doesn't matter in freestyle, of course.
OK. Yes, I knew that really, Mark. I did know that really. I once was aware of a customer who returned an early one-to-one telephone when they launched in 1993 in the Carphone Warehouse shop. And he returned it via the medium of Charles Dunson's head when he threw it from the shop doorway across the counter and it hit Charles in the head. A scar, I think, which he still bears quite bravely because of that. Anyway, that was another mobile throwing contest. That's the end of the news for this week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to the Mobile News Podcast, sponsored by Brightstar Europe. Now it's time for our feature. Our first ever podcast in 2006 included a look at mobile voice over IP services. This week, a long time down the lane in podcast number 101, we're returning to the subject. I'm now joined by the regular team, technology writer Mark Bridge and James Rosewell, who owns a mobile technology business. James, let's turn to you first. Voice over IP was conceived as a fixed telephone service. First of all, remind us of how it's used outside of mobile.
Well, just let's remind ourselves of what voice over IP is. That's having a telephone conversation connected via a network that uses data packets or internet protocol packets, which is what IP stands for. So when you talk on Skype, you're using voice over IP. Now, in fixed line telephony, voice over IP has really become the backbone of all the major telecom providers' services. So people might have heard of Meridian or Avaya, Nortel, companies like that who provide call center exchanges and call center technology. They provide systems for big corporations. They provide platforms to the telecom companies like BT and the network companies. They provide all that kind of technology. And they're starting to connect their systems together using voice over IP and using data technology. And that's really the biggest change over the last 2 years around voice over IP, is that this is now firmly cemented at the heart of future telephony architectures.
So how much has it changed in the last 2 years?
Well, if you look 2 years ago, it was kind of being experimented with. People were coming out with equipment that used voice over IP. But it is now, as I say, central to the products and services that all these technology companies are providing, not just mobile, right, but any telecoms company.
Now, when it comes to mobile, in many ways, with a few exceptions, there haven't been very many big changes in the last couple of years. We've seen Netgear, we've seen Belkin, we've seen SMC launch Wi-Fi phones. These looked very much like old-school mobile phones, slightly chunky. They'd connect to a Wi-Fi network, they'd let you make calls over services such as Skype. But although they were launched a couple of years ago, there's not been a great deal of development of those since. I was chatting last week to one of the manufacturers, and they were saying, although they've brought out business stuff, there's not been that much interest in consumer products. The same kind of goes for these so-called convergence services, the hybrid services that combined mobile and Wi-Fi. BT launched BT Fusion. They've recently come up with BT To Go, which is its successor. But in terms of the service itself, they don't seem to have been any dramatic changes in that. And certainly mobile networks don't really seem to be pushing this kind of thing at all.
Well, I think everyone's learned from the BT Fusion experience, where a huge amount of capital investment was made and it really hasn't been successful because the consumer's not that bothered about a clunky phone that allows you to make calls at home and while you're out of the house, although on paper it's a great idea. So I think there's a mixture of the technology not being up to the customer expectation. And that's really why VoIP hasn't taken off in the consumer space. But as I was saying earlier, it's really taken off within the telecoms companies and in corporations and businesses.
Where does Skype fit in with here? This is something that's really coming on now, isn't it?
Well, Skype is what most people who have gone to the point of making a call via their PC would use, and equivalent services to Skype. So all the MSN, Yahoo, Google all provide these sorts of services. That these would be the products where most people would have actively used voice over IP. And there are things that you get the benefits through these sorts of services. So, for example, you can tell whether someone's online and ready to receive a call from you. You can get video very cheaply and easily running alongside your voice call. Mm. Some of the products, you can share the screen so you can look at information that's the same. You can send text messages, effectively instant chat messages to one another. You can send files to each other. So although strictly that isn't voice over IP, there are a lot of other things that you can get alongside it that add value to the conversation that you're having.
And that makes it very attractive to the end user, I guess.
Well, that's right. There's more features and they're becoming increasingly useful to the mainstream consumer.
And Mark, Truphone bought something called Sim for Travel, didn't they? I remember we reviewed it not so long ago. How does that fit in with this?
Well, this is one of the exciting things that's happened in the mobile voice over IP field. All the stuff that James has been talking about is very relevant to fixed services, but at the moment hasn't really come across onto mobile that much. Now, Truphone, it looks as though they're going to be bringing mobile and Wi-Fi together. They've bought Sim for Travel. Now, Sim for Travel is one of these companies that offers discounted calls when you're abroad and also allows you to receive calls at no cost when you're abroad. More importantly than that for Truphone, perhaps, it's a virtual network. This means that Truphone doesn't just run a Wi-Fi service now, it also has a GSM service, and so they're a network that is able to offer mobile calls at internet prices. And at some point, I'm certain, we're going to see exactly this from them. The other thing that we've seen is Skype launching their own mobile phone, or rather a phone in association with the 3G network. They've just launched another one, version 2 of that, which, as James was saying, brings all the benefits of voice over IP, the fact that you don't just have your contacts list on your phone, but you can see if your contacts are available or not. That's now there on the new Skype mobile phone. That kind of thing is going to have to make the conventional mobile networks sit up and pay attention.
And I think, Mark, the future is that you are going to have a number or a name that identifies you, and people can see where you are, what your current status is, whether you are able to receive calls or not in real time, and then connect to you whether that's on your mobile device or on your laptop or at home, it doesn't matter. You'll just have one method of contacting you. This idea of telephone numbers and having lots of different telephone numbers eventually will be done away with. But what are the barriers to getting there? Well, around mobile, they're very similar to where we were 2 years ago. Unfortunately, the quality of the data networks on mobile is not always sufficient to have a good quality telephone conversation, and that's ultimately going to be one of the barriers. And the way to address that, people talk about Wi-Fi, but connecting to Wi-Fi when you're out and about can be burdensome at best, very tricky sometimes.
Yeah, it's very hit and miss, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a case of just pressing the button and off you go. And until it reaches that point, we're really not going to move to that next step that I just described.
Well, we talked about this subject 2 years ago. It all sounds very exciting. And we said that mobile voice over IP wouldn't become mainstream unless it was able to offer better coverage and greater convenience. It's still a niche product, but it's gaining popularity. And if it's combined with existing mobile technology, really could change the way we pay for our calls. Thank you, guys. I think it'd be an interesting thing to revisit this in another year's time to see how we've moved on. And now it's time for our handset review. And we're looking at the LG KC550. 5-megapixel cameras were once only available for professional photographers. Now they're standard equipment on many premium handsets, and the prices are starting to come down. Korean manufacturer LG has recently announced the KC550, which brings 5-megapixel quality to the prepay market at an affordable price. It's currently selling for under £100 on prepay. So, Mark, this seems like a lot of camera and phone for not much money.
That's exactly what it is, Ian. It really is, as far as I can see, a very good deal for what you're getting. You've got a 5-megapixel camera. As with other LG products, it's got a Schneider Kreuznach certified lens. I pronounce that differently every time I say it. It also has an image stabilizer, it's got low light sensitivity, and it's got autofocus as well. There's a dedicated camera button, so it's easy to start up. You don't have to wade around in the menu. And when it comes to looking at photos, the phone itself has an accelerometer. This is that clever feature that automatically works out whether you're holding the phone upright or on its side and will rotate images when you're viewing them. But this isn't just a camera. It's also a video recorder. It'll record at 30 frames per second. That gives you so-called DVD quality. And you can watch your photos and your videos on television. There's a TV output as well. Plus, there's built-in editing for video and for photos too. Now, elsewhere on this phone, you've got a 2.4-inch LCD screen, so a decent-sized screen, and indeed an attractive phone. It's a solid-looking phone, but it doesn't look like a budget phone. It still has a fashionable look about it. Slide-open design, as pretty much everything seems to be at the moment. When it comes to music, you've got MP3 playing, you've got FM radio, and you've got stereo Bluetooth as well. When it comes to the web, you've got an internet browser, and you've got email. LG have done a deal that integrates Google's search and email, so it's a whole lot easier to use those. Plus, you've got built-in motion-sensitive games.
What on earth is that? What on earth is that?
That accelerometer isn't just for rotating images. It can also sense what the phone's doing during games. So, for example, you can play a fishing game that involves you moving the phone around to try to catch a fish.
Well, like a Wii machine?
Not unlike that. Rather cleverly, the phone, when you're connecting it to your TV set, you can play games on your TV as well, using the phone as a controller, so you can wave the phone around when it's connected to your TV and use it as a controller for these motion-sensitive games as well.
Good Lord.
Elsewhere, feature-wise, you've got USB connectivity. You can plug it into a PC to transfer files. You've got micro SD memory expansion, so you can expand the memory. And to be honest, you'll probably want to, because there's not a great deal of built-in memory there. There's only 25 meg of built-in memory, which with a 5-megapixel camera will get eaten into quite quickly, especially if you're using it as a music player, as a video recorder as well. The other downsides with this, and you can see how they've managed to keep to a budget, there's no 3G on here. It is just a tri-band GSM and Edge phone. And also, there's no Xenon flash. It's just a conventional LED flash. Having said that, I still think, for under £100 on prepay, this is an exceptionally good deal.
It does look it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that around now, Mark?
It's been in the shops for a few weeks. I think it's probably going to hang around until Christmas, and its price is going to drop towards Christmas. It's going to end up in a lot of Christmas stockings, I think.
I think it will as well. I think that's a very good deal. Yes. Okay, Mark, thank you very much. Well, that's all we can fit in this week. This has been the Mobile News Podcast, sponsored by Brightstar Europe. We'll be back at the same time and in the same place next week. You can find us online at mobilenewscwp.co.uk, or you can use iTunes to automatically download the podcast every week. Just run iTunes on your PC and search the podcast directory for Mobile News. Alternatively, visit thephonecast.com, where you'll find an archive of previous broadcasts, along with background information about the team. There's even an RSS feed available there, which also lets you receive each week's podcast automatically. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with more mobile news next week.